Good morning. May 18th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's mix includes federal guidance, local service infrastructure, and funding deadlines, with Denver moving a contract amendment tied to a permanent facility for the Harm Reduction Action Center. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, Filter reports on a Washington, D.C. coalition pushing cannabis justice under the banner End the Nightmare. Filter also reports on what it describes as questionable Department of Homeland Security guidance on synthetic opioids for first responders. On a related national policy thread, The Conversation has a piece from three health policy analysts on how flavored vapes led to a major shakeup at the FDA, and the science behind these controversial products. The Boston Globe reports that U.S. overdose deaths fell again in 2025, while some observers are still worried about policy changes and shifts in the drug supply. And Filter also highlights growing potential for psilocybin in smoking cessation. Taken together, those items suggest that the broader policy picture remains unsettled, even as some headline indicators improve. In the social pulse, one lived experience post from Ozzie May on LinkedIn argues that the term addict, even when used as self-identification, carries a legacy of pseudoscientific ideas, outdated models of analysis, and ongoing stigma around drug use. A couple of very different public-facing posts also stood out. One post on X argues that Toronto public washrooms should include kiosks dispensing sterile injection and snorting kits, naloxone kits, and testing strips for fentanyl or benzodiazepines. Another post promotes AI automation for recovery centers, focused on intake, follow-ups, no-shows, chatbots, lead generation, and CRM workflows. That contrast is a useful reminder that innovation posts can point either toward direct service access or toward administrative efficiency. Then there is a contrasting opposition message. A post from Tani Yao on X argues that safe supply and consumption sites have proven ineffective, pointing to British Columbia and describing those policies as harmful. In this case, the item is best understood as opposition messaging around harm reduction rather than a reported policy analysis. At the city level, San Francisco announced the next phase of coordinated street outreach. According to sf.gov, Mayor Lurie said on April 21, 2026, that the city is building on the momentum of neighborhood street teams to improve street conditions. In research, Harm Reduction Journal published a study on changes in community health worker knowledge and perspectives after opioid overdose prevention and response training. Another paper in Curious examines epistemic barriers to buprenorphine access for adolescents with opioid use disorder. And Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Weekly reports on a proposal that would gut methadone regulations. These are the kinds of findings and policy discussions that can shape both workforce training and treatment access over time.
On the policy front, Denver is moving a city resolution tied to the Harm Reduction Action Center. The measure would amend a contract with the Colorado Nonprofit Development Center, doing business as the Harm Reduction Action Center, to roll over $715,000 in unspent Year 2 funds into the Year 3 budget. The purpose is to support the purchase of a permanent facility for health access services for Denver residents, with no change to contract capacity or term. The committee approved filing the item on April 29, 2026, and the last regularly scheduled council meeting within the 30-day review period is June 1, 2026. Facility stability can matter just as much as program funding when service providers are trying to maintain consistent access. Finally, a few current funding opportunities are open. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, opportunity through NCIPC, with a deadline of June 8, 2026. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has the Provider's Clinical Support System, Substance Use Disorder Treatment Opportunity, with a deadline of June 15, 2026. The Smart Family Fund is also listed with Angel Philanthropy first-time grants ranging from $25,000 to $100,000, with an open pitch. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Those June deadlines are close enough that teams may want to review fit and requirements now. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.